Good Sunday morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. At the time is just 4 minutes past the hour of 11, and if you are regular then you know that Mind the Gap runs every Sunday and that's from 11 to 1. So I'm here for a long ride of basically sarcasm and geopolitics, which are basically two of my favorite things in life. Scratch that. Moving on. So on today's menu, we have a few, politicians and that are somewhat, you know, I just decided to mix up the type of politicians that are going to be on the frying pan being cooked here today on the heat, proudly sponsored by Eagle FM and the frying pan being a Mind the Gap. So let's, you know, let's do this. So at the end of, let's start with Africa now, just a little bit before we go to the UK, because much of the cooking is going to be happening in the UK. So at the end of Macky Sall's term, the president of Senegal, you know, as you'd expect when, in the world of politics, things don't really go as well as it is more often, expected or more like depicted in an ideal world, because politics is, at least in practical terms, happen in the real world, not the ideal one. So you can imagine they had a few hard and slash hot feelings with the incoming president. That's President Faye, the current president of Senegal. So from the time that that Faye took office, Macky Sall sort of like went in a political underground, if I can use that to describe how he basically disappeared from the public scene, which is expected. I mean, if I was in public office for a very long time, that's a lot of pressure. We see that here at home, where you see a lot of people that are more often are dominating the headlines when they're in office, but as soon as they leave office, you barely hear from them. And I imagine, after leaving the public sphere with all the spotlight and all the optics and stuff, you just want your you time. I think that's what President Macky Sall did. Now, I thought he was just gonna, okay, maybe that was too much optics for him. He's never gonna come back in politics again. Boy, was I wrong, because he did come back. He did come back a little, and the reason why he came back a little is to come back big. Now, he popped up a few days ago on the, on mainstream media. I think I saw that article on African News where he, according to the article, Macky Sall seemed to have, been trying to be cozy with the current president of Senegal so that, that's his President Faye, so that he can, back him up on his plans to run for the, for the Secretary General of the United Nations. Of which I went, oh boy, here we go again. Here's the thing. Throughout the entire history of the United Nations, and we're talking about, this is an international organization that goes back to the 1940s, and I only know of two Africans that have served as the Secretary General, and that's as far as my history of the organization, which is not much, serves me, basically. Now, first it was Boutros Ghali of Egypt, and then Kofi Annan of Nigeria. And Boutros Ghali of Egypt, and then it was Ban Ki-moon of South Korea, and then you have Kofi Annan of Nigeria, and now we have I'm always mixing up the head of the World Health Organization and the Secretary General of the United Nations. The Secretary General of these two organizations, their names for me sounds somewhat very, they sound similar, because every time that I think about the UN Secretary General, the first name that comes in my head is Tedros Adhanom, who is Ethiopian. Now, except the head of the United Nations, the current, who is now, well, outgoing, hence the whole, a bunch of people basically scrambling for that position, as you'd expect in any, leadership position that's being, when the incumbent is outgoing. So here's the thing. A lot of people seem to have been eyeing the seat of the Secretary General, but I don't think I would be running for the, for that position right now, because as you can imagine, Antonio Guterres have been having one headache after another when it comes to sort of like getting the international arena to basically work together. You'd think it's that simple, except it's not, because there is there's a lot of money at stake. When you ask people to work together, you first have to ask yourself just how much money is at stake. Just take one phrase that is more often used in the international arena in terms of asking people to work together. You are asking about, you're asking, interesting enough, fully grown men and women to work together, which is ironic, because those are the things that you'd think you need. It will take you a long time to convince a bunch of kids. It turns out it's much easier to basically ask kids to play together, to be nice to each other. But if you ask Antonio Guterres, I'm pretty sure he will tell you just how difficult it is to do that with fully grown adults that are educated, by the way. They have a bunch of advanced degrees, but they are all dumb when it comes to just considering human life beyond anything else, beyond their own, bank accounts. They'd rather bomb each other and sell weapons while editing than, you have to understand that much of the people that these bombs are killing are women and children. So if it means selling weapons to make money, a bunch of these guys don't care who they kill, as long as they are making money in the process. And that's what we are seeing in pretty much every war zone you can think of. You can start from Ukraine, Gaza, DRC and Rwanda here, and you now have see pretty much the entire Sahel region is on fire, and the consequence of that seems to be spilling over into the southern Nigeria, Northern Nigeria, even though that part is somewhat very interesting. But here's one thing that I've come to learn about, about terrorism. Growing up, I believed that politicians are just these stupid guys that just do a bunch of irrational things because they're dumb. Well, I actually changed my mind on that. Because if you look at just how much, money is involved into the so-called stupid things that politicians do, you'd actually understand why they do it. You may not agree with why they do it, but you'll understand why they do it. You're looking at the reasons that drives them. Now, think of it this way. One Tomahawk missile, like the one that was used, like actually the ones that were used in the early days of the recent conflict between Israel, Iran, and the U.S., cost about 3-point-something million U.S. dollars. That's just one. Now, on that one school alone, they launched, I think, 2 or 3 of them. Now, you're talking about 9 to 10 million, just in one strike. 9 to 10 million. That's in US dollars. Now, imagine, throughout the war, how many of those you are going to launch, and how many of those will cost to make? And how many of those will cost to make? That means it will cost taxpayers to pay to make. But that means it's also a lot of money in the pockets of that company and a lot of money in the pockets of shareholders of that company.
Dreaming of a better future abroad? Namdeen's Investment CC can help make it happen. Whether you're a teacher, caregiver, nurse, doctor, IT professional, driver, construction worker, graduate, or looking for work, we provide trusted visa facilitation and consultancy services for visitor visas, high-paying jobs abroad, international study opportunities, scholarships, and recognized qualifications. For more information, contact +264 81 376 0041 or WhatsApp +264 81 806 2044 Today, Namdeen's Investment CC, opening doors to global opportunities.
Welcome back. So, let's do this. Now, why am I talking about the money? It's because when it comes to money, one thing we know is that, well, especially if you're a Christian, then you know that our Lord and Savior was used as startup capital by one of his own. So, I think one part of that story we don't understand, we don't more often talk about, is that you do realize he didn't take a total stranger to sell out Jesus, right? It was one of his own. So next time you find yourself with a price tag on your head, just understand that there is not a total stranger that did that. It was chance a very high, one of your own. Patrice Lumumba, one of his own. Odinga Senior, one of his own. Thomas Sankara, one of his own. Chris Hani, one of his own. Anton Lobosiki, one. I mean, the list is very long. So when you look at it this way, now, when you get, at least this is the conclusion I've drawn from just how many people have been betrayed by one of their own. And you can take that to one of my favorite South American, cool story that's in, of Salvador Allende in Chile. It was his own right-hand man that sold him out. And also, let's just forget 1953 Iran. Just look at, the early days of the Iran war, just post the 1979 overthrow of the Shah. What you see is, the Americans prepped up Saddam to overthrow the guy that that they did not agree with in Iran. And well, Saddam was on their side at the time, and this was in the 70s. So, well, they were homies, basically. They were homies. Now, fast forward to 1990. Operation Desert Storm. I'm watching the Americans bombing the heck out of Iraq. I'm like, okay, what is going on here? Now, to be fair, 1991 Operation Desert Wow type wasn't there. could barely do anything. Now, here's the thing. The question now, at least for me when I was looking at this history, was how did these guys came from working to each other to bombing the heck out of each other? And I'm seeing the same thing in terms of, I'm seeing the same thing with Noriega in Panama. They trained the guy, prepped the guy, and then once he turned against him, they decided to, to basically bomb the heck out of his country. He decided to run into, a Vatican embassy, and which they played, the U.S. went full DJ on the Vatican embassy to flush Noriega out. So, in all these guys that have been, quote-unquote, American enemies, about, 90 to 80% of them were trained and funded in the beginning of their rise to power by the very same guys that are now bombing the heck out of them. Now, that is why if I was to run into the one of the, most diabolical warmonger to ever walk this earth, that is Henry Kissinger, I'd look at that guy and say, you know what? I don't agree with you on a lot, actually all your foreign policies, because it's very warmongery. I'm not up to that. But you did get one thing right. In the world of politics, there are no friends. You are only friends when your interests are aligned. When your interest gets, goes in full misalignment, you stop being friends. You start being sworn enemies. You still want to go into politics? Because believe it or not, you're gonna be, now, the political and the corporate world is full of backstabbers. Backstabbers means the people that you relied on, the people you trust, those are the ones you'd worry about, it turns out. Now, isn't that scary? Isn't that scary? Really scary. Now, the reason I pointed out earlier that you may not agree with why politicians do a bunch of dumb things, that at this point we have, a bunch of us have this belief that politicians are stupid, except they're not. It's just that the money being flashed, or more like the carrot slash, the carrot in form of money being dangled before their eyes, is a lot of money that a lot of them are going, you know what? I know I, care about my country and people and constitution and this and blah, 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 but this is a lot of money. I mean, who'd wanna say no to an iPhone with two SIM cards? Who'd wanna say no to a all paid for expenses holiday to the Bahamas? By someone who could poison your margarita, whatever it is that you are drinking. Margarita? Seriously? That's the first thing you can go for? No, man. Find something different. Yeah, something, strong, like a Johnny Walker Blue. Neat. Okay. Now that's if you're going through a divorce. I'm saying this because personally I have categorized alcohol in three main divisions, alcoholic beverages. Beer for talking stories and watching sports, beer is the best for that one. For weddings and celebration, graduation, everything celebration, champagne. Breakup and divorce, hot stuff. Yeah. Because I would have a lot of sarcastic things to say. I always have a lot of sarcastic things to say. I would have a lot of sarcastic things to say if I went to a wedding and saw a bride or a groom with a bottle of whiskey, because my first question would be like, right, you didn't really want to do this, did you? Because, it's more than the, action speaks more than words. And it's, what are you running away from? Now, moving on. Why did I bring up the money? Why did I bring up the money? Now, let's just all stop pretending like we are holy. And let's just face the reality on the ground here. Last night, while doom scrolling, I will admit, I came across a meme. Of course, it's Nigerian. One person asked on social media that a woman that can cause drama and stop a wedding is needed on Saturday. It is urgent. A woman that can cause drama and stop a wedding is urgently needed. Payment is 2.5 million nairas. I never actually took the time to convert that to Namibian dollars, but you can imagine it's somewhere about 100,000. Oh, hang on a second. Now, someone commented on that. That's the most important part of of this point. Someone commented that make it $3 million, no, 3 million nairas, and I will bring two children that resemble the groom. The dedication is amazing. This is a negotiation. So, I'm sure we have all, come across one of those memes, or more like funny videos on social media where someone is asking that, would you slap your pastor for $2 billion? I'll tell you something. I'm from my family of pastors. Don't ask. If someone gave me an option to slap any of these pastors, including those ones that I'm related to, for $2 billion and I said no, and that person gave that chance to those pastors to slap me for $2 billion, they would slap me without blinking. They would slap me into a coma. So when someone asks, would you slap your pastor for $2 billion? The first thing that comes in my head, and anyone's head, basically, including some pastors, if not most, is that, there are pastors that would slap you if you won't slap them for that amount of money. So, would you slap your wife for $2 billion? Believe me. There's someone out there who is going, no, you know what? I cannot touch my woman. Blah, blah. That your woman will slap you with a spade for that amount of money. And after you all get paid, she will tell you, are you nuts? You wanted to get rid of all this money just because, romantic, blah, blah. Oh yeah, slap them. And then use about, $5,000 to go for, medical checkup and all those things, and the rest of the money you live happily ever after. What kind of nonsense is that? So, anyways, not to promote domestic violence, but what I'm saying is, would you slap your girlfriend or your wife for $1 billion? Forget $1 billion. The way relationships are going these days, just make it $500 and you see how many people, how many couples will slap each other. You know, because they have been looking for, the $500 is just extra. They have been looking forward to doing this because of how annoying he or she has been. Don't do that. You're gonna go to jail. Look at it this way. If you are given $1 billion to slap someone, pastor, girlfriend, as long as you do not, you slap a baby, you're gonna kill a baby, you moron. That's just not worth it. But if you are all adults, you can just sit and say, my love, don't get me wrong, I love you to death. Actually, I'm doing this because I love you to death. So, you're gonna have to just, move the Brazilian hair, behind a bit. So that you can just, just one slap, my love. Just one slap. Actually, if someone gave me $2 billion to slap both my wives, the Zambezi and the Ndonga one, and I didn't do that, they would both kill me. Now that I know for sure. They would be here like, right. So you let the money go because you didn't want to slap us. $2 billion. You let that go. Because, romance, I love them, because I love my life. Here's the thing. In case you didn't know, you're behind this, bro. And, we want a soft life. And you also want that, A51 Alienware gaming laptop, right? To which my answer will be a definite yes. Because of how much not buying it. No. $60,000 for a laptop. Yeah, no. Sorry. No, in the middle of my cooking of politicians and also, just talking about money and why I don't agree with a bunch of things that politicians do, but I don't agree that politicians do those things because they're stupid. They do that because they get a lot of money out of it. A lot of it. Now, Ramaphosa is a billion, is a millionaire or billionaire, that guy? Filthy rich. So much, he has so much money, he's hiding a bunch of it. We found out has been hiding most of it in his sofas because his bank accounts just can't take it anymore. Who knows, maybe he ran out of space in his bed. And his floor, and his ceiling, and his wall. Last year, a border drug security officer in Spain was arrested. He and his girlfriend, who was also a police officer, by the way, they were both arrested and in a drug smuggling allegation, working with South American drug cartels. You know what they found in their walls? If your house is made out of bricks, you need to pull up your game. They found money in US dollars in their walls.
Mm. This winter, Washambamo is turning your shopping into winning. Spend 200 Namibian dollars or more at any shop in Washambamo and you could win a 500 Namibian dollars shopping voucher every Friday. The more you shop, the more chances you have to win. Don't miss out. Visit Washambamo in Ondangwa from 3rd to 31st July 2026. Shop, enter your till slip with your name and number into the competition box located in the mall and stand a chance to win a shopping voucher from Washambamo. Don't miss our lucky winner live draw on Eagle FM every Friday from 1500 hours.
Welcome back. So it's a 30 minute. We are 30 minutes into the hour of 11. So just a theme song, and we will proceed on the other side with you know, where we wrap up the money, and then we'll, you know, just we'll talk a little bit about my region and our protest. Yeah. And then we go to the UK after that.
Yesterday food finish. Today pot they hot with nothing. Water they boil inside empty pots. Steam they come out. I close the lid. Pretend say something they cook. I count my coins since morning. In no rich transport. I trek 3 miles to work under sun. No escort. My shoe they open mouth. The soul don't separate. I use rubber band hold them, so he no go vibrate. I reach work. My yoga ask why I dey sweat. I say na exercise. Hunger they make me forget. Lunchtime everybody job. I drink water, fill my chest. I tell them I already ate. God forgive me for that jest. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. If I don't pay back, oh Satan responsible. If I don't pay back, oh the devil responsible. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. If I don't pay back, oh Satan responsible. If I don't pay back, oh the devil responsible. My picking school send letter. Done overdue. Teacher put my child out of class. What I go do? I beg the teacher, give me 1 more week. She don't hear that one before. She don't even speak. Night time, I kneel down. Whole family they sleep. I cry to God, quiet. The kind of cry that is deep. My wife ask what we go cook. I say God go provide. She look at me, she look at pot. Nothing there inside. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. Nothing to show, something no they right. My neighbor they cook, this smell enter my room. I swallow saliva, I pretend say I fool. Boom, I know they give up, but Lord hear my cry. Because hunger no supposed be the reason I die. Just borrow me small, I go walk out to pay. And if I feel lost, now devil lead me astray. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me.
podcast. Last, now everybody go to our breakfast.
I had to find out through the comment section of this song on social media that is it a Shayo? Is it, I'm not sure whether it's Igbo or what language is that. It doesn't it means tea. Tea. Right? I don't know, maybe you know, consider the source, comment section on social media, so.
You go bow for the result, though. Nothing to discuss, though. Cause I did win by default, and without any doubt, though. I'm a me, I be a doubt, though. I no go feed the girl, I no go feed the girl, is out, though. I'm a mind that's really dark, though. I put my life into my job, and I know I'm in trouble. She manipulate my love, oh. I know holy, and I know that kepo, like the Baba Frayo, my ayo, don't cry yo. Soboma, I dey try to buy moto, want Toyota Corolla. My feelings been they swing like Django Loba. Feelings been they swing like Django Loba. Now you crash your Ferrari for Lucky Bona. Now see Martin remake with that pin all over. My feelings did they swing like Django Loba. Feelings did they swing like Tip Tip Timbani at you. Come on, why don't you finish you? Why you say I did nothing for you? And if I do anything you want me to do.
Yes, the world we live in is dangerous. We get it. So that's yours truly, DJ Vuyo. I'm sure by now, and God knows I have been roasted enough as a Kavango because of a protest that happened that was on Friday. Look, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying we are making the headlines in a way that is very interesting. And I'm talking about, Kavango here. In case you've been living under a rock, Kavango East, specifically Kavango East, members of the Kavango People's Forum, together with the residents of the Kavango East region, staged a peaceful demonstration in Rundu on Friday, opposing the proposed transfer of water from the Rundu water treatment to a plant to Rundu. The demonstrators, argued that many residents in Rundu and its surrounding communities continue to face water shortages, and that local communities should benefit from the region's water resources before any water is supplied elsewhere. I wish we always did this with all our natural. We're just protesting that Balvis Bay. Before this uranium leaves the country, it should benefit us first. See? It's a Kavango thing, you understand. Now, the group basically marched to the straight to the marched their way to the office of the Kavango East governor, where they handed over a petition outlining their concerns and demands. And of course, I'm reading this in future tense because it happened last week Friday. Now, as you can imagine, when this, when those demands were handed, you know, a speech was given for the media and all that. One of my favorite case of a collision between, politics and, you know, a politics media and a politics media slash optics and the law was, remember the $447 million tender? Was that back in 2014, 2015? When did I read that? Anyway, because I wasn't interested in politics at the time, as you can imagine. So I just found a very fascinating story while reading through, you know, while reading through my administrative law cases. And that's one of those cases that I find very fascinating. It was a multi-million dollar, $447 million, if I'm not mistaken. I know it was 400 and something million, and that's in US. That's about, in Namibian dollars, that's in billions. Now, I believe a South African company was awarded that tender. I believe. Now, one thing I know is that, you know, one thing I know for sure, which I found very fascinating, you know, that's where the collision, you know, that's where I concluded that this is a collision of politics, optics, and what the law on the ground says. So, after, you know, because of the, now, after that, of course, a tender was put out, and then an award was made. A company that emerged victorious now started prepping up to basically get to work. You won a tender, boss. Now, what happened was, people in the media went bananas. They made all kinds of allegations, but, the foundation of the allegations was the sheer size in amount of money that was being, you know, that, that this tender basically required. Now, that was the expansion of the Hosea Kutako International Airport. Now, something interesting happened. Now, a lot of allegations were made in the media that, from my point of view, the president felt pressured to sort of like respond in a certain way. And then your president responded in the worst way possible. I don't know if he had the attorney general advise him on that, because whether he had the attorney general advise him on that or he did not, none of that is good. If he was advised by the Attorney General, then the Attorney General was just as terrible at interpreting the law, because both the High Court and the Supreme Court reached that conclusion. And now, here's what the President did. The President just took the stand in front of the media and went like, you know what, I will just ask the Minister of Works and Transport, because that's where they fall under, to invoke Section 9, Subsection 2, of the Airport Companies Act. Now, that part of the Act is one that has discretionary powers, which this is something that you basically find in most, if not all, Acts of Parliament, where it outlines that, you know what, according to this Act, because is called the empowering provision, this Act gives the minister this and this and this and these powers. Oh, I will get to the screw up on the other side of the break.
Ritava zende kize, imba izwezi pili. Luekerize mikwa yengu yencha kukona kunolofaza kwa nkufisa, hamo chualo ni mata amskavo na kari. Karamu itukiserize kubona msevelezo wa imba ye, mufumane lisevelezo ze zwezi pili ze, kakulifafela mashering alika na 36 na million dollars kakweli. Kapa, kami kwa ye kutesifa fasi ye tatama, 5% machipisa, hamungo disari kwerize talu, 10% machipisa, hamungo disari kwerize sirela, 25% machipisa, hamungo disari kwerize lishumiperi. Muketeri kwerizo muvata, kulimukone kukala kuikola zende zeo imba inuswa lezi fama chipisa. Imba, toku kukandiri fasi kaufela. Muipe kwa lisevelezo za imba kachenu, kulimukone kuikola zende kaufela.
Welcome back. So where was I? The president, yeah. So the president pops up and is like, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, and this is the part that a lot of people don't get about how beautiful law is. Because the president stood in front of the media and said, you know what, I'm going to ask the minister to do this and this and this and this. And the president did exactly that. And well, the minister maybe also thought, you know what, yes, I have this power given to me by this provision, therefore I'll just go ahead and do that. Oh boy, for the love of God, just why? Just. Look, I'm at that point where I feel like ministers need a crash course on what power is given to them by the empowering provisions, because I'll give you the same example that was done back in 2021 by the Minister of Agriculture. It was the same exact screw up. And the screw up was also the screw up back in 2021 by the Minister of Agriculture, where Bank Windhoek, dragged them, to court to correct a legal mistake that also, that also came from what? The empowering provision. That was the Deeds Registries Act of 2015, and that was Section 93, subsection 2, which also gives the minister, powers to execute a certain executive tasks. Executive and legislative task. And most, if not all, because I'm not saying, which I think it's all acts basically, has this section. The section that gives the minister certain powers. These guys are terrible at executing those powers. Let's start with the airport one. The promotion of Administrative Justice Act, which is it's a piece of work that's coming from South Africa of 2000. Now, here's one thing that, from its preamble, the PAJA basically explains one thing, that the role it plays is to expand Section 33 of the South African Constitution and Article 18. Although it's a South African document, so it's talking more about Section 33 of the South African Constitution. But because we are in Namibia, our version of that would be Article 18 of the Namibian Constitution. Basically, Article 18 of the Namibian Constitution is a summarized version of Section 33 of the South African Constitution. Now, what? PAJ, what do I just call it? PAJA. Because the whole Public Administrative Justice Act, that's just a mouthful. Now, let's start with the Minister of Works and Transport in the 7 billion Namibian dollar tender to renovate Hosea Kutako International Airport. A tender was awarded, I believe, in 2015. A tender was put out and advertised, but the award was made in 2015, when the permanent secretary of the Ministry of Works, I think, you know, basically notified the company that won the tender that, hey, congratulations, 7 billion to expand Hoshea Kutako International Airport. You win. Now, because of the pressure from the media of alleged corruption and mismanagement, you know, in the awarding process of the tender, as the, you know, the corruption and the awarding process of the tender, the president reacted by talking to the minister, President Gengob at the time. Now, the minister was like, you know what? I will take it from here. I have power according to the national, the Airport Companies Act. Except, look, the power is there. It was just terribly exercised. Now, the PIJA that I just pointed out earlier talks about in the administration process, anyone who is aggrieved, or if you are going to revoke, a licensing or a permit or any permission that you gave, you are going to have to provide the reasons in writing. PIJA says that. Now, the National Airports Companies Act says exactly the same thing. I think that was that is in section 9, subsection 1B. Says that the reasons must be provided. Section 9, that, you know, the one that was that the minister used to basically tell the company to cease all the activities. The very same act tells him to do that in writing, except he didn't do that in writing. Both the High Court and the Supreme Court looked at that, looked at them and like, Your Excellency and Honorable Minister, were you guys high when you did this? Because the act is very clear. You were supposed to provide the reasons in writing, except you didn't. So, what you see here is a piece of legislation that is well written, being wrongly exercised by one minister, that's Works and Transport. Now, fast forward to 2015, the Minister of Agriculture does the exact same, mistake. We have two Deeds of Registries Act, one of Rehoboth of 1976 and one of the whole of Namibia of 1937. The problem is, we are one country now, man. Come on. I'll be pissed if I was from Rehoboth. And now, our lawmakers decided to put in the work to come up with a piece of work that will basically bring these two pieces of legislation together. So to reflect the fact that we are one country, not just two anymore. So now, in that Registration Act, section 93, is the one that gives the minister the power, a lot, just not a lot, I'm just exaggerating, you know, a few powers to exercise in under the guidance of that act. One of those powers is to let everyone know that here is a new piece of law. From now moving forward, this is the one that we are going to use. The Rehoboth and the Rehoboth 1976 and the 1937 Namibia one, just throw those ones away. Oh boy. That very act itself in that section clearly states, before you bring this document into force, you first have to publish it in the Government Gazette and wait more than 30 days. Before you put it in force, your OGA decided to put it in Government Gazette and declare it to be in force in the very same day. Now, that one I find very funny because, well, he's white, German and Namibian, so not English. I'll give him a little bit of break on that one. But here's the thing. Here's another example that I also came across where you have, a public official who is misinterpreting the power given to them by a piece of legislation and ending up in court and being told by the court, what did you smoke, Honorable Minister? I thought weed was illegal in this country. I'm never getting a job in public office, am I? Anyway, I already have one.
Welcome back. So we continue. Someone check on our honorables. And also someone check up on me. Please. Thank you. And, well, to be fair, if you are going to check up on me, you know, come with food. Otherwise, we are not going to have a lot of things to talk about. If you are going to come during the weekend, come with beer and kapana. That's all. Don't worry about stories. I have a lot of those. So now, let's give our ministers a break. Okay, seriously, guys. If you're going to find yourself in public office, you're honorable now. You're running a ministry. You're a busy guy. You have all this, you have an entire legal department, and which raises a very, a very concerning picture because in the case of the Namibia Airport Company, for example, the Attorney General should have advised the President on that. The minister's own legal advisors should have explained that, you know, this is a terrible idea. And that's the same thing goes for the Minister of Agriculture back in 2021. He should have been told by his legal advisors, well, Honorable Minister, this is nuts. It's not going to fly. Because we already have a president of this. It turns out, no. My question is, it makes sense why every time a ministry goes to court with a private company, y'all keep losing because y'all keep misinterpreting the very same laws. Interesting enough, you wrote. Isn't that funny? Talk about shooting yourself in the foot. Anyway. Now let's go to other politicians that just decided to start a war with us. By us, I mean those of us that were colonized by Britain. You see, there's one politician, Suella Braverman. She's a former Secretary of Housing in the in the UK, whatever the heck that means, the Secretary of Housing thing. So, recently said Britain, and let me just get her exact words because I want to have a prep, want to put her on the right frying pan before I get back to my playlist because I, only have 18 minutes to shoehorn in all these things. Now, here's the thing. There's one guy that wrote this in a very creative way in the Guardian newspaper. So just, Dearest World. Sounds like Dearest Gentle Reader. Yes, I watch Britain. It's funny. Leave me alone. Oh, yeah. Dearest World, Britain, that small yet once highly influential nation that once proudly ruled over much of the world, that gifted, in quotation marks, thank you very much for that, that gifted you with the English language as well as the William Shakespeare and Mark Morrison, that kindly bestowed you upon the industrialization as well as, industrialization as well as industrialized slavery, the proud nation that won two world wars and created football. Highly debatable on that part. I'm afraid to reveal that, that is not what it used to be. I know that. It's not Great Britain anymore. Now, first we lost our empire, in quotation mark, our. We lost our empire, then we lost Queen Elizabeth II, also put that one in quotation mark. Then we lost a sense of identity. And now it would appear a good number of us have lost our minds. Not us in Namibia, them in the UK. Now, brain spark of former Conservative Home Secretary, now Reform UK, UK Equality spokesperson. Oh boy. So she's a noisemaker. Suella Braverman. If I'm butchering it, that's because, well, she deserves it for what I'm about to read next. In a stroke of unimagined genius. Now, that's the sarcastic part of this article that I pointed out earlier. In a stroke of unimagined genius, she has suggested that nations once enslaved, exploited, and subjugated by Britain should pay reparations to Britain, the enslaver and colonizer, for all the good generosity. And, according to her, the reason why we
should pay Britain for, you know, all the colonization and handing over some of our countries to, to Jeffrey Dahmer as a babysitter, because that's basically what happened when Namibia was taken from Jeffrey Dahmer and was handed to Ted Bundy. They were all a bunch of serial killers. When Namibia was taken from Germany and handed to apartheid South Africa, what did they think was going to happen? That's why I'm saying when Namibia was taken from Germany and handed to South Africa as a protectorate, that is the equivalent of taking a child from Jeffrey Dahmer and handing that child to, you know, these guys were more into murdering women. It's, you know, same, you know, taking a blonde woman, interesting enough, when it comes to Ted Bundy, from Jeffrey Dahmer, and then handing that poor woman to Ted Bundy. She's still gonna be dead. But for some reason, someone thought that was a brilliant idea. To tell you how dumb. Now, my playlist is closing fast. Moving on. In a stroke of unimagined genius, she has suggested that nations once enslaved, exploited, and subjugated by Britain, should pay reparations to Britain, the enslaver and colonizer, for all the quote-unquote good generosity upon them, imposed upon them. Or, as she puts it, former colonies should pay, now that's in quotation mark, these are her exact words. Former colonies should pay the British back for the considerable investment, effort and contribution that this country made, which laid the foundation for many flourishing democracies today. She's Indian, by the way. Ethnicity. She's actually Indian, but I have a sneaky suspicion she's Indian. This is why I like to say that politicians are not dumb. No. Politicians are smart. They just do a lot of dumb things when they are being paid to do such stupid things. Because she's smart. She knows what the British did to India. Massacres and genocide were literally committed. People were being stabbed to death by Winston Churchill in India. And here, you have someone of that route asking India to pay reparations. For what? For a genocide? So, again, for the millionth time, politicians, not stupid, just greedy. Give them enough money and they will do the dumbest thing you can ever imagine. Like I pointed out earlier, you using my favorite, meme world, Nigeria. Someone was looking for someone to go and ruin a wedding, for 2 million naira. And someone said, you know what? Just make it 3 million and believe me, I'll bring two kids, not one. Two kids that resemble the bride by, in 5-10 minutes, that wedding is toast. Now, when you look at the amount of money that's involved in colonialism, that was involved in colonialism, and that is involved in neocolonialism, you'll understand just why a lot of people are willing to go to war to defend this interest. Because let's face it, people have been killed for wireless. People have been stabbed for cell phones. People have been stabbed for wallets. People have been stabbed for $500. Now, human beings are stabbing each other for 1,000 Namibian dollars. If you are willing to stab someone for $1,000, then don't get confused when you read about stories of a country that went to war for $30 billion. I mean, well, Anglo-Iranian Oil, a.k.a. British Petroleum, was pissed
when Mohammed Mossadegh nationalized their industry. They literally went to the British and the Americans and hired their, their mercenaries, MI5 or MI6 or whichever is engaged in foreign affairs, first in terms of espionage, and the CIA to come and overthrow us. You wanna bet, Anglo-Iranian oil, aka, British Petroleum, paid the American and the British government a whole lot of money to get those intelligence to come and overthrow Mohammed Mossadegh? I'm gonna bet, British Petroleum paid, Anglo-Iranian oil paid a lot of money to hire those two intelligence, not one, two intelligence of two countries, to bring them into a foreign country to overthrow a government to protect its interest. So the whole democracy, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, I read those things and start laughing because I know it's not about that. I know very well this has natural resources at the bottom of it. LGBTQ bottom anyway. That is just... So it's about money. It has always been about money. It will always be about money. The reason why we don't like leaving our houses at night here in Windhoek or in any urban area in Namibia is that we know that there are a bunch of guys that that you don't want to run into in the middle of the night that will literally kill you because you refused to give them your 2,000 Namibian dollars, worth cell phone. They're willing to kill you for 2,000 Namibian dollars. Now, if they are, now, if you have people here locally that are willing to kill for $2,500 or just $500, heck, $100, depending on how high he wants to get. So that means acting stupid is the least a politician can do to get paid. So, when you look at it from that angle, you begin to understand why Paul said, writing to Timothy that not money, the love of money. Not money, the love of money. One taxi driver returned 10K to the owner after she, I believe, forgot it in her cab, in his cab. That was here in Namibia. We all were amazed by that gesture. Why? Because we know damn well that doesn't happen very much. Because we know for a fact, 90 to 100% of us, minus that Zambezian guy, would not have done that. Now, before you start saying, you know what, Zambezians are very nice. If you lose your money in their cab, they will give you back your money. Let me remind you, it was a Zambezian that, swindled your Minister of Defense $200,000 by pretending he was calling from Standard Bank. So, it's not a tribal thing. It's not a regional thing. It's an individual thing. Every region, every tribe have very nice people and have people that are just flat out nuts. So, do I love the Zambezi region? Absolutely. Ask me why, mango. That's not a very long story. It's a very short one. I love mangoes, and they grow a lot in Zambezi. So, yeah. Boy, I love that region. Now, this minister here, or former Secretary of Housing, who believe that former colonies of Britain should pay the British, the British back for the considerable investment, effort, and contribution that the British made, which laid the foundation for many flourishing democracies today. We have a Palestine situation today because of Britain. I don't know what she was talking about. Now, don't tell me she doesn't know that. She knows that. It's just that someone gave her enough money to play that dumb. Now, all I want to know as I wrap up is, the money that she was paid. I'm pretty sure she used some of it to buy some kind of weed, hemp, crack, whatever, you know, meth, or whatever illegal drugs that made her that high. Because you can pay me to say something stupid. But I don't think you're going to be able to pay me enough to say say something that stupid. I think something that stupid must cost a lot of money. And for example, if a company came to me and told me, yeah, you know what, well, we realize that you are very good at cooking, minister, so we want you to be acting stupid from now on. And we're going to give you $500. I tell them, guess how stupid you want me to act? Yeah, we want you to be Donald Trump stupid. Act like Donald Trump is acting stupid. That level of stupidity is very expensive. It cost, as we have already discovered, it cost a fully customized passenger airline-sized jet. That's how much the stupidity of that level cost. The stupidity of Madame Braverman here must cost a yacht. Actually, yachts. Make it yachts, because that's really stupid. Now. You want a politician to act stupid? Give them enough money and they will act stupid. You know, I never really understood why they did, and because American politics goes global. Much of the template that have read, that have led me to this conclusion comes from American politics. I like to watch documentaries, and most of the documentaries I watch features former American public officials, and they make a lot of sense in these documentaries. Now, the question I can't stop asking myself is, why is that they don't think like this when they're in office? And then I realized, when they leave office, no one is bribing them to be stupid anymore. So they become smart. So they revert back to their normal self. And they're very smart. They're not stupid. They're smart. When they're in office, they do all kinds of stupid things because their salary depends on them being stupid. And more like playing stupid. So they play stupid for the entire duration of that administration, and if they are given their job in the next administration, they continue being stupid, more like playing stupid. But if they are kicked off the stupidity payroll after the end of the administration they've been playing stupid for, what they're going to do is they will now start making a lot of sense. When they're featured in these documentaries, amazing things they say. That's when I realized, you know what? Actually, politicians are not stupid. They just act stupid. So, which is why these days when I see a politician acting stupid, I start asking myself, who paid them and how much? Because, the stupider they play, the more money they were given. Now, if you run into a politician who is holding a press conference in a language that is literally baby language, it's just rambling. Homeboy got paid a ton. Because the more you pay, the stupider will play. That's the game of politics. I'll give you an example. One documentary I watched was made by the former South African Member of Parliament, Andrew Feinstein, and the documentary is called Shadow World. Now, in that documentary, one of the person that is featured in the interviewing of those documentaries, as Colin Powell. You know, back in 2003, the man that stood in front of the UN and told them that Iran, we have credible intelligence that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. That guy. You know how convincing he played that role back in 2003? In the documentary, he's saying the complete opposite. So, in 2003, he was being paid to go and act stupid in front of the UN. Do you have any idea how much pressure you'll be under to be stupid in front of the UN? That means that level of stupidity cost a lot of money, which I'm assuming he got paid before he kicked the bucket. That's a lot of waste of money. But anyway, after that, he was featured in a documentary. It was like, well, there is nothing that was in that. Actually, it turns out he was given a script. Did he say he was given a script? No. He was reading it. And in that documentary, he admitted that sitting right behind him was a CIA director. Isn't that amazing? Politics is never boring, guys. It's just delicious. The thing is, it's a lot of nonsense to read through. I get that. I get paid to read through that nonsense, which is even bonus for me. Now, here's the thing. People with real power, if you watch A Shadow World, and if you watch the Shadow World documentary, and you'll find a piece where Colin Powell is doing the presentation to the UN about the weapons of mass destruction. We have gathered credible intel about high-level Al-Qaeda operatives and all that language. Now, you see that right behind him. And the documentary made life easy for me by posting the video and highlighting the guy that was standing behind him, CIA director. And this is something that I find fascinating in the, when it comes to Western politics. If it's a president giving a speech, the Secretary of State is most likely going to be right next to them. Now, one thing I've concluded going back to Henry Kissinger is that for U.S. presidents, I have a sneaky suspicion the Secretary of State is the guy with power. The president, nonsense. And for that Colin Powell guy, when he showed up but when it comes to Western countries, the real power is with the intelligence guys. The president is just the guy that is that should appear in front of cameras and say all kinds of nice things and smile for the pictures and that, but that's all he is. He doesn't have the power that everyone wants to believe he has. Now, The November Man is one of my favorite action movies. Now, that movie features one man who was backing up a man who was running for office in Russia, an American guy. Who was backing up a man who was running for office in Russia because they wanted, to democratize Russia. Now, what happened was this one guy who was also American that kept asking why this Russian guy was just doing all this kind of weird stuff. And, his fellow American man came to him and told him, well, in case you've been wondering why this guy is acting that dumb, that's because, I own him. And the language he used was, I have my hand so far up his behind, I'm moving his lips. I own him. You wanna know why that man is acting like that? It's because I own him. I have my hand so far up his behind, I'm moving his lips. Now, that movie for me draws a very nice picture of of how much a lot of us are exposed to hard power, and but the real decisions are made by soft power. Soft power entails the power structure that you don't see. I'm not talking about a secret cabal. No. Real power is about information. You have to be ahead of information. The intelligence guys are the ones that are ahead of information in anything. So those are the guys with real power. Those are the guys that update your president and everyone else and all that. As you can imagine, there's a game of telephone going on when this information is exchanging ears. Yeah, so it's DJ time. You know, ever since I learned there's, that word DJ means something different, I never got that out of my head. Every time I say, you know, it's DJ time, that pops up. Ladies, y'all are just, these days, yeah. So just a quick break on the other side. Hang on a second. I almost forgot it's Sunday and can play music. Oh dear.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut. If you just tuned in, it's 26 past the hour of 12 and we're going until the hour of 1. So it's DJ time and my throat is itchy and it's just time for, we're going to, you know, just go full DJ much earlier, starting with the ones. Now, I'm not sure if I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one that likes to listen to this 2 hours long type of music while I'm working on something. And every time I do that, I always find just, I always find this song that is just cuts deep. And I brought you one today. So let's start with that one. And then we can go to the traditional Mind the Gap-ish type of music.
We watch the colors fade away, like summer skies turn into gray. All the words we couldn't say still echo softly through the day. Time keeps moving like the sea, carrying every piece of me. Even when you're far from view, my heart still drifts right back to you. Every memory pulls me closer. Every heartbeat whispers your name. We can hold on to forever, even when we're worlds apart. Soul our souls in changing weather, still connected heart to heart. Heartbeat calls your name.
space and time. Love is stronger than goodbye. No matter where the rivers flow, some hearts never let go. We can hold on to forever, even when the road is long. Every step will lead us closer to the place where we belong. I'll be right here beside you.
All right, enough white people music. Now it's time for black people music.
Have you seen how she has grown? Yeah. You can never know she gets a phone. Have you seen how green she's getting? Yeah.
You can never understand her power. Wow.
Now, for those of us that grew up in, you know, basically started seeing the world around us from mid to the late 90s, you know, things became clearer and clearer. We have a lot of memories of our parents listening to this type of songs. And when we grew up, we realized this guy doesn't even speak a single language out of Zimbabwe. Why was he listening to this song? It turns out, well, when it comes to, you know, to connecting, their vocals with their instruments, they're really good. And I don't think there were a lot of music or artists or music being produced these days, because one song is 8 minutes. Who has time to listen for 8 minutes for a song? That's a movie.
Dead but still alive, his music lives on. Mr. Chitungwiza, John Chibadura.
Not sure if looked up some of the videos on YouTube. Looked like they were shot with a CCTV camera, but those were the days. It turns out, these were the. I really don't want to be disowned by my parents back at home. All right, now that one is 8 minutes. Now, if you think that is long, no, it's not, because Leonard Dembo had one for 10 minutes. That's three. That's 4 songs in one. The first minute and 12 seconds and counting, not a single voice, but relax. It's coming. After all, we have the whole 10 minutes. Finally, Jesus. Right. Okay, music time.
Nies, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Where your today's songs would have ended, that is at 3 minutes and 24 seconds. Our song here still has about 6 minutes to go. Okay. There's one. Mm-hmm. 9 minutes and 18 seconds.
Inga kukura kutani, mana wakakura nichiwona.
Been halfway through, so we have 10 minutes left to go, so let's come back to a much shorter and a little newer music now, shall we? Let's go with two. One is local and one is foreign, but they are both motivating songs in their own way. One is motivating in a white people-ish kind of way, one is motivating in a black people-ish, Namibian-ish type of way. Let's start with the foreign one, then we can conclude with homemade motivation.
Best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Don't wait for luck. Just put in the work, don't wait for luck.
And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. 'Cause you're
the mile. You can walk straight through hell with a smile. You can be a hero, you can get the gold. Breaking all the records if the river could be broken. Do it for your people, do it for your pride. Never gonna know if you never even try.
Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
sitting in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name. Cause you burn, you burn with a brightest flame. Don't wait for luck. The world is gonna know your name. Just you're strong enough. You can walk straight through hell with a smile. That's some interesting motivation right there. Alright, we have finished motivating those ones that, want to speak rah-rah-rah. Let's wrap things up with local motivation.
No worries. kwambi wachipara chana kwedi donda parero amongunda uya kuiwa no derera no ateta no ateta bonito no ateta no ya no ateta kwakteri buke kui hayasho raketo la kali chibwibwili chibwibwili so topindo taman conquista to tun arroz copindo shaman Tisera tainika, makas perita rapi, watare la marume, tata putito tun, tata putito tun.
Both you and Tate Buti will todul. In other words, you got this. And then something, something in Oshuambo, no worry, no worry, and no worry. You get the picture, even if you don't speak any of the Oshuambo dialect. 2 minutes into the, 2 minutes to the hour of one. Actually, not 2 minutes, just 1 minute and 10 seconds. So that brings us to the end of today's Mind the Gap. We meet again next Sunday. And shout out to those of you that want to be career politicians. Shout out to you that see yourself as ministers and presidents in the future. I mean, it's a nice dream, you know. Hall of Fame, you burn with the brightest light, don't wait for luck, just put in the work. Although if you want to be a politician, you want to start practicing on how to be an idiot, because it pays better to be an idiot than to be irrational in the world of politics, it turns out. Which is why you have never heard of Jeffrey Sachs and Norman Finkelstein, but you have heard of Donald Trump. So I'll just leave it there. Until next time, y'all have a worry less weekend.
Chisho, pagyo tadi kukwathere opo umorokara uwasira ya kweni o chisho. Watu chithana basic mental health first aid course. Haiga njua o shari chamhongi kwa mboka ili iyo, iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na hene una o utongorora o madidiriko o petameko yena cha nupiakadhi nenge o mathidakano o pamathira viro kuchane o mokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo ngene una okuya kwathena nokuya pa ea bidhido yiri mwanjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere o unji na hene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na ehangono maradura sano ododina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you
your health, your life, your peace of mind NHP, we're about you.